and we're grateful for that. This morning, good morning.
Good morning.
We're grateful. And I want to do something different this morning. First, I want to welcome those by Facebook. We're a Wilkesboro Baptist Church is on Highway 9 here in Chester, between Chester and Lockhart. And if you're looking for a church family, there's no greater church family nowhere than right here at Wilkesboro. We invite you to come. If you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord, we certainly love to have that opportunity to lead you to Him. And you find that comfort, not only the preaching of the gospel, but the singing and a wonderful fellowship among our people. And the world is looking for that. And you'll find it here at Wilkesboro Baptist Church. And we trust that we will. You'll give us a response to it and how we can ever help you. We hope to have some response. You never know. But there are people out there that are hurting today, and they need to know Jesus Christ, and we welcome you. And this morning, in our text is in Luke's Gospel. It starts with chapter 18, verse 35 through 34. It begins at verse 35, and it came to pass that as he was coming near unto Jericho, a certain blind man sitting by the wayside begging, and hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth had passed by. He cried, and saying, Jesus, thy son of David, have mercy upon me. And they which before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. And Jesus stood and commanded they bring him to him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what will thou that I should do unto thee? And he said unto Jesus, Lord, that you may restore my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, and thy faith has saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. This morning, our theme is, when Jesus passes by. Can you imagine? You see, if somebody famous would come to Newberry, there'd be so many people here you couldn't even stir them with a stick. But no greater person can make a difference in your life than Jesus Christ. Now, let me show you. Jesus went where the people were at. We're so accustomed today, as a traditional church, we're waiting for them to come to us. That's not scripture. Jesus said, go ye into all the world and teach them what I've taught you, and lo, I'll be with you always unto the end. Jesus is passing by. And Jesus passed by here this morning during our service, or wherever you're at. The Bible says where two or three are gathered in my name, that he'd be present. So he's here. We're already here this morning. And God wants to touch hearts and lives. No greater person than we can ever meet. I met some great people in my days, but they never changed my life. They felt good. But when I met Jesus, my life was totally changed. What did the multitude react when Jesus came by? Now, if you do the background, you'll find that during those days, when Jesus went out where the people were at, the cities emptied themselves. And you can see that all these people were out on the street, some out of curiosity. Some were there just trying to disprove. Kind of reminds us of the Christmas parade. It's always ironic to me when you go to a Christmas parade. Here all these big adults are. Tall, big, whatever. They get right on the front row. Where's the children? Back here trying to peep around and see. We don't show the respect to let the children sit on the curb or stand in front of us. We're going to see everything anyway. There's just something about us that we got to be front row. Remember Zacchaeus? The multitude came out to see Jesus. He was small in stature. He could not see. He climbed the sycamore tree that he might see Jesus. But you see, when Jesus passed by, it makes all the difference in the world. First, I want you to notice the condition of the man. The man that's in the scripture is saying that, first of all, he is blind. Perhaps he had been blind from birth. It didn't say that. But it was very customary that a person that was blind, what they actually did, would they take them to the curb or where the multitude gather or outside the temple. You remember the beggar was there when Peter and them said, I don't have gold or silver, but I have Jesus to offer. But they had to accept whatever the people were willing to give them. Today we have people in the world today are spiritually blind. And all they get is what the world is ready to dribble to them. The world offers crumbs. God offers the feast. Either we're going to eat of the crumbs, or we're going to feast on the table that God has prayed for us. He was blind. You know, for a number of weeks I couldn't hardly see good out of this eye. But I can tell you, it's bad to be able to see out of one eye. But can you imagine in total darkness? Can you imagine that you could never see nothing? And the man didn't ask for a great amount. You see, he was a beggar. He begged for the crumbs on the floor. Now, there's a great lesson in that. Many people don't realize. But you see, back in those times, they believed that any food was left over, that Satan would enter into it. So they gave the crumbs to the dogs. And have you ever heard where first hush puppies ever came from? Now we go to these restaurants, all we love them hush puppies, don't we? But have you ever known where they received that name? What happened, people in the olden days, this is in America. In the olden days, they'd have cornbread, they'd have stuff left over, and they'd make a little, like a hush puppy. What it was, a puppy come to the table big, and they'd give it to the dog and say, hush puppy. That's amazing, isn't it? But that's true. But you see, the condition of that man in verse 35 down through 38. Now I want you to notice the condition of the multitude in 40 through 42. First, they rebuked him. What did they say to him? Hush! You don't need to be doing that. You don't deserve to call upon the name of Jesus. I had sad to say, folks, I have preached in some churches that Jesus wouldn't have had room left to come in. They were more concerned to have it orchestrated. They were so busy doing the form and the ritual, all this. If somebody would ask the question, it'd like dropping an atomic bomb. They rebuked this man, calling out, "What's going on?" They said, "Jesus is coming by. You need to be quiet." And then, what did he do? They wanted to separate him, but he cried the more, "Lord, Lord, Son of David, have mercy upon me." And you know what? Jesus hears us before we even ask, folks. That story of Zacchaeus. Jesus saw Zacchaeus before Zacchaeus ever saw him, folks. And today God sees us, even those wherever you're at, God sees you. You see, God knows before we even ask. But he hears us. He has the will to say, "Call upon me." As parents, we hear our children, mothers particularly. All a child has to do is speak. My son was out in Minnesota. He'd call my wife and talk to him, "What's the matter with you, Jeff?" I can tell by his voice. Isn't that true? But you see, the fact is, many times we love for them to ask us to. You see, they wanted to separate the man. They were more concerned with themselves and of the event, what was going on, than bringing them the man to Jesus. But then notice in verse 40 from 42, the conduct of Jesus. Jesus said, "Bring the man to me." He heard him. And he brought the man to him, and what did he say? "What would thou have me to do? What can I do for you?" And Jesus said, "Restore my sight." And Jesus, today your sight is returned. Your faith has made you whole. You know, folks, that faith is one of the biggest words we ever deal with, a Christian faith. You see, many times when we say we trust God, we know he's going to do it, then we worry ourselves to death. Do we really love him? And you know what happens many times? We're so unfaithful, we're afraid he'll hear us. But you have faith. By faith, we're saved through grace. Now, many times our faith ain't strong because you know what? We don't trust him. And you see, if we don't trust him, our faith ain't no good. I believe that Jesus Christ will do everything that he said he would do. It has been proven over and over and over again. This man that was born blind was begging the world to feed him. And what did Jesus do? "Oh, I'll give you free groceries for a month, a year. I'll give you this gift certificate. Go down the road." No. He says, "I restore your sight. Your faith has made you whole." No longer we have to be a beggar. You see, the Father is rich with all the riches. And through his Son, Jesus is our key. As the children of God, we can go in the storehouse and get whatever we need. Jesus said, your sight has been restored. Now I want you to notice in the close of verse 43. Notice the man consecration. In 43, verse 43 says, "And immediately he received his sight and followed him and glorified Christ. And all the people that saw it gave praise unto God." Immediately. He didn't go through some long spread out thing. Immediately he was made whole. You see, today Many people are hurting. They're spiritually blind. And you see what, as I used with the flashlight, we're the light, but Jesus is the power. And unless we can go and share the gospel with them wherever they're at, they'll dwell in darkness. They're only beggars when God has abundance. Looking over in 2 Chronicles chapter 14, notice what he says. If my people will humble themselves and pray and repent and turn from their evil ways, then I'll repent them, I'll forgive their sin, and I'll heal their nation. I'll open the doors of heaven and pour out more they can contain. America is starving today, folks. America is so geared down that everything's so expensive. Everything, mom worries about everything. Dad's having to try to work, do everything. It's trying to, children feel that pressure. And we're living in a land of milk and honey. But our faith is not in government. Our faith is not in our jobs. Our faith is in Almighty God, who says that he will give us abundance. And the man followed Jesus, glorifying and praising him. And notice what happened. The people that tried to keep him from Jesus started praising God, what they sing. And the thrust of the message today, there are hungry people in our families, in our community. I've looked out and rode up and down some of these roads. There are hundreds of people living here. If we could just capture in those people, every church here would have to build more churches. It wouldn't hold all the people. And this is what happens. Many times pastors get discouraged. Congregations are worried out. They do the same thing, and next thing you know, he gets tired of you. You get tired of him, and then you change preachers, or then next thing you know, it'll go back to the same way, and then next thing you know, you get tired again. When Jesus said, go ye into the world where they're at. And I can't wait. I'm able to drive now. I can't wait to get out and go down these roads and knock on these doors. There's something about that personal witness to that individual. And help them see the light of Jesus Christ. The church will grow. And who's going to benefit? We all in the kingdom of God. If you're here this morning, perhaps Jesus passed by and you're like the multitudes, you just shoved him off. And you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. We won't give you that opportunity, folks. It's not to be embarrassed. What'll be embarrassed is one day when you stand before Jesus and he says, sorry, I never knew you, workers of iniquity. It's a serious moment, folks. I told you about the guy that said he would have been the preacher if they let him. His business was going under. And God saved him right there brushing his teeth. And he said that the worst thing he had to do was go tell his daughters and wife, I've been living a lie. He said, I'd go to church and tell them, I've been a deacon, but I've been living a lie. And Jesus Christ came in my life. He said, Ray, you will never believe what my relationship, my wife, and my children became. So rich. And he's about to go under, and that next year, his business, he profited over $1 million. You can't outdo God, folks. And you see today, it's not to be embarrassed. I was buying other things yesterday, and the lady said, what are you doing with them? I said, well, I'm proud to tell you, that's a favor for our children. Young people come to church, I do a children's message. Oh, you're a preacher? I said, well, I ain't the best, I guess, but God called me, and I do my best. I said, look, do you go to church? She kind of dropped her head. I said, you need to think about that. Well, I think it's the most wonderful idea. So you never know what we do might be a witness, folks. You never know. Take that opportunity. Don't even say, well, I ain't going to say nothing. In business, tell them about Jesus. You'd be surprised what an opportunity we have to help that young person get on the right road. Start living that life. It's a beautiful life. It's a rewarding life. And it's an eternal life. Or even senior citizens. And older people. Over the years, came and give their heart to Jesus Christ. And they said, you know, I thought church was you just go along with it. But I found out what I'm missing. I want to have Jesus come in my heart today. Young people today, as we start and getting in middle school, high school, it gets difficult. Do you know it's even more than that when you go out to college? Because there's so much peer pressure. But listen, when Jesus passed by, let him in. Let him come in your heart. Let him change your life. And he'll make you a new creature in Christ Jesus.